today. Today, if you hear his voice. Did you hear his voice? Did you? God is seeking us, it says in your bulletin. God is seeking us. And he is speaking to us. So do we hear his voice today? You know, Ecclesiastes says something to the effect that God has been, will be again. And there's nothing new under the sun. True. But there's still so much that changes. All the stuff that Pete showed us was new. New. It wasn't there when the preacher spoke in Ecclesiastes. It wasn't there when the psalmist wrote Psalm 95. And yet these words of the preacher, that there is nothing new under the sun, are still true. Because are people any different today than they were in the olden days? No. And that's why these psalmist words still hold true. Today, if you hear his voice. Yeah, that was a long time ago that the psalmist said that. Hundreds of years ago. But then a couple thousand years ago, the writer to the Hebrews used the same words again. And if you, at any time during your life, have entered an Anglican church during what they call the morning song, you would also have heard that Psalm 95. And to me it brings back memories of a summer nearly 70 years ago. I can't imagine how long that was. Nearly 70 years ago, when every Sunday I attended a little Anglican church. Congregation was very small, but the service was impressive. The elderly priest would pray aloud in the sacristy off to the side before entering the sanctuary, chanting a psalm. And then there was the service with the congregation, alternative lit, sitting, standing, and kneeling, participating in the service. The priest, he preached Christ, him crucified. And the service was most impressive. That summer I left with a great impression on me. And I thank God how he helped me grow in my faith there because of that little Anglican church. And now, you've just heard Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. What was your reaction to these words? What did you think of when you heard it? Did you hear the call to worship? Could you picture yourself in the desert with Israel by Mount Sinai, where the voice of God was heard, witnessing what was written in Exodus 19, that Mount Sinai was covered with smoke and the voice of God was heard? Yes, Exodus 19. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Picture it. The Lord coming down on that mountain and smoke billowing from it like smoke from a furnace, while the mountain trembled violently And the sound of the trumpets grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke. And the voice of God answered him. Mount Sinai erupting like a volcano, and Moses in the middle of the fire, and Israel watching, trembling with fear. And the voice of the Lord answering Moses from that mountain, smoke and fire. You know, sometimes I wish I could have been there and that I could have heard those heavenly trumpets and hear that voice. Unfortunately, it's no longer possible. But I still know for certain that on that day, God descended on that mountain and spoke. And that he remains the same God today. And that he's my God. Really? Really? Can that be true? God descending in smoke and fire on Mount Sinai? My God? Our God? The mighty creator of the universe? Our God? How feeble our praise must have sounded to him. Shouldn't we shout out with the psalmist, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Yes, raising the rafters with our jubilant praise. For that's how the psalm begins, with a call to worship. Is it still possible in our day and age? Do we still realize that there is one great enough to receive our worship? We who have become so proud of all our gadgets and all our accomplishments, our great inventions, do we recognize that there is a God greater than all, worthy of our worship? A God before whom we bow down in worship, our Maker? Do we still understand that? That he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We recited those words a few minutes ago, right? His people, his flock. He cares for us. How great our privilege. But you know, sometimes it seems to me that things aren't going too well with our faith. And that worship has become so commonplace, so routine, that again, there's nothing new under the sun in that either, is it? It's happened before. Look at the history of God's people of Israel. Ups and downs. Ups and downs. Think of the time of the judges. Later, the time of the kings. Was it any different during the Christian era? Reformation and the revivals. But what has been the result? Now let's just hold it for a minute before we become too depressed. Don't forget that through all this, God has kept his church alive. Christianity is still a force to be reckoned with. And the gospel is still proclaimed here and far and wide. We may be struggling, but God, the creator of the universe, is still in control. And he is still keeping his church. And that's why the psalm suddenly changes tone in the middle. It's interesting. So drastic, the change of tone in the middle of this psalm. After the worship, suddenly the warning. A warning not to overlook what the Lord is saying. And some commentators have said, yeah, there are two different psalms here. But I disagree. This is one psalm, and these two parts really belong beautifully together. For now we learn that we have a responsibility to, that we have a part in keeping the church going, and that part is listening to his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, today, that's right now. Did you hear that voice today, congregation? Did you hear that voice in Psalm 95? Did you hear that voice in the call to worship? Did you hear it in the hymns we sang? Did you hear God's voice in the many news events of this past week? And what was he telling us? He wasn't speaking directly, but wait a minute. Behind all these events of this week, can we detect the voice of the Lord? What he is trying to tell us through these events? Did you perhaps, the Lord talking about not committing adultery, not bearing false witness, not murdering, not stealing? You know, all these things we heard about this past week. Or was God's voice drowned out by today's many noises? Noises that may leave us so totally confused. I still remember an alarming comment that one of our preachers once made to me. When I talk about hearing the voice of the Lord, he said, how can we know it's the voice of God and not the voice of the devil? You know, that alarmed me. Yes, how do we know? Is it that we have lost the ability to discern the voice of God? Can we no longer test what we hear against the word of God? Has our knowledge of this word diminished to the point that we no longer know what is true? And then I become troubled, really troubled. And then I think again of that pastor's remark and consider the history of the Christian church. During the Reformation time, there were many voices calling for reform, but sadly, there was little agreement. Luther, Zwingli, Melanchthon, they had their differences. And when Calvin came on the scene, he certainly didn't always agree with the others. And the division continued. Yes, even increased. And how do we explain the many different brands of Reformed churches in our time? Right here in Ontario, I know of at least 8 different Reformed denominations of Dutch origin. What's wrong here? What's wrong here? Did all their leaders hear God's voice when they built their churches? I find it difficult to imagine that God speaks with a different voice to different people. You see why I'm troubled? Recently, I read a Dutch book about the movement of Dutch immigrants to the U.S. around the mid-1850s. Things were not good in the Netherlands. There was religious persecution. Those who had seceded from the state church were not tolerated. And even those people disagreed amongst themselves. And among this religious persecutions, plans were developed to move to the United States. There were names of Van Ralt and Scholte. And when we read their stories, we read of disagreements between them as well. Should they go to Michigan or to Iowa? Who knows? Disunity resulted. And many people made the wrong choice and died as a result. What gives? What gives? Whose voice did these leaders hear? And then again, I'm still troubled. Today, if you hear his voice, yes. But you know, could it be that many of these church leaders and that we too are hearing our own voices, drowning out the voice of God? You ever thought of that? Ever thought of that? Could that be true? Sure, much good came out of what happened in those days, because God turned the mistakes of the people around for the good of the church. And today, we see that many of the issues that have divided God's people in the past suddenly are no longer issues that trouble the church. In the mid-1800s, hymn singing was a definite no-no. Today, we sing hymns not even asking if they are really scriptural. Oh, but all the other burning issues that have divided the church over the years, too painful to mention them all. I'll just mention one. Two church services on the Lord's Day. Well, in many, perhaps even most churches, it's no longer the case. Yes, what do we do with these issues? Are they harming? Are they against God's will? I wouldn't go that far. No. Times change, and sometimes there are developments that demand changes. When God spoke to Adam and later to Noah, the word was simple. Here's a word for you, world for you to develop. When God spoke to Moses, there was a slight difference. Here's a nation to develop. And when later, when God spoke through the prophets, it was about a nation that kept going astray. And then in New Testament times, God spoke about a message that has to be proclaimed to the world. And what's that message? What is that message that needs to be proclaimed to the world? Today. Today, if you hear his voice. That's the word for today. The word for the world in which we live. The word for a society that tries to curtail our religious freedom. The word for us when we are becoming hemmed in on many sides. The word when Christian universities are barely tolerated and their graduates are denied the admission to certain professions. Today, how are we going to stand in that world? How are we going to deal with those issues? How are we going to hear the voice of God, what he is saying to us in these times? Today, we have to hear God's voice. Should we split up in many churches, each following its own teaching? Each one of us having our own little church? Or should we work together to distinguish the voice of God? There's a warning that comes with it. Harden not your hearts. What does that mean? It does not mean a legalistic following of old man-made rules. But it means being open to the grace of God. Our hearts open to God speaking, accepting his unconditional grace. Believing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is sufficient for all our sins. And then we may have to redefine many of our issues, even sin perhaps, and the breaking of our man-made or church-made rules, and look again at God's commandments. How can we as believers work together to build God's kingdom? How? And then, don't forget his call to love God with all our heart and soul and strength. And of course, our neighbor as ourselves. And then there's that phrase about entering into rest. That's also part of the package. For Israel of Moses' generation, it meant that they could not enter Canaan. As for us, it is God's eternal rest. But does that depend on, but it doesn't depend on anything you and I do or not do. It does not depend on our rules and the regulations. It needs on faith. And here again is that call to faith, that call to faith in Christ. So clearly illustrated in the Gospel of Luke. Go to Calvary and see this and picture the scene. Three crosses and one man hanging on a cross saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You may call that a sinner's prayer or a last moment repentance. Whatever it was, Jesus heard it. And he answered, "I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise." That's entering rest. No closed door. Paradise, the kingdom opened. That's the great paradox of grace for all of us. The door that remains open right until the last moment. Is this a radical message? Perhaps. At times, that voice may come through in most unexpected ways. And then we may have to unlearn many things we once thought indispensable. And when we have done that, we may have to learn again to try to listen. Listen to that voice of God. To hear him calling us today. "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, who are burdened. Come and repent from listening too much to your own voice." Let's pray. Father, it's so hard to stop the noises around us and to listen to your voice. Oh, we're so good at hearing our own, but yours, it's so difficult. And now, Lord, send your spirit to each one of us and teach us to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen.